Cave of Solitude. This is episode 11. And it's been a long time, but the band is back together. I'm Eric Anthony, your host, and I'm finally joined by...
I am Jay Siegel, finally back from Mexico.
Jay Mexico.
Well tanned.
Yeah, your skin looks a little sun-kissed. Yeah. Not as, as pasty as
Hey!
You know what?
Never
pasty. I speak for myself. When I don't go on vacation for a while, through the winter seasons, I'm almost like invisible. And it's bad because my wife is naturally tan, so when we stand side by side, I look really pasty.
You look like a gringo.
A gringo, yeah, because I am a gringo. So, Jay, it's very nice to have you back. We missed you.
It's good to be back.
We sincerely missed you. Me and Daphne J had a good time. We did a lot of podcasts in the meantime. She blitzed a bunch of books, and it was fun.
Yeah, I've been trying to get caught up with you guys and listen to everything you've been doing.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what do you think?
So far, so good. I have tried now melanomas and
melanoma.
Melanomas, and I approve of Daphne's pick of the week.
Yeah. It's been fun, but you know what? It was definitely somebody missing. Hold on a second.
Good.
I thought for a second there's something wrong with the recording, but we're all good. Things are clear. So, Jay, you've been away for... We haven't been together for almost a month, it seems. Seems like forever.
Too long.
So we got a lot of catching up to do. Lots of things have gone down since the last time we recorded.
Yes.
We had I think the last one we did together was the wild card episode.
Yeah. Yeah, after the Weezer one, yep.
Yeah, and at that point, there hadn't been... With that episode, we talked specifically about the possibility of there being a Star Wars trailer coming up soon. And not long after that...
Yeah, I was very upset of that, the fact that there wasn't one yet.
Yeah, and since then, we've had a Star Wars trailer. And I'm hearing all these other shows, and everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, I can't talk about this with my Star Wars guy.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts. What did you think?
Okay, so the first time I saw it, I did actually scream a little. I'm not ashamed to admit, when the Millennium Falcon appeared, I was like, I peed a little. I got super excited, and like all those emotions of like watching them like blow up the Death Star in return, they all came flooding back, and I was like, this is it, and like... The trailer did not disappoint. I'm really glad they didn't show any of the original cast. I'm really impressed by that. Because it's kind of showing that Abrams? Yeah.
J.J. Abrams?
J.J. is trying to, like, push the franchise, look at these new characters. We aren't just going to be leaning on like, our old, like,
what cast. Everyone knows.
Yeah, what everyone knows, we are going to introduce. And then, like, of course, like, Andy Serkis, he's the voice in the background. His voice is, like, super menacing and, like, oh my goodness, what's going down? And, like,
just... It's kind of cool that it didn't give up any story. It just showed you little things that this is Star Wars. I don't know, did it feel like Star Wars to you? Because what I seen, I was like that little droid. It looked like a soccer ball rolling around. Like, what did you think of all the little snapshots that you saw? What did you feel it was Star Wars?
So, being myself, I immediately started trying to piece everything together. Okay, how are all these characters relate? So then I figured, like, the first character you actually see is the Stormtrooper. I can't remember his name. Uh-oh.
The actor's name?
Yeah, the actor's name.
Let's look it up.
So he's the first one that shows up. So you piece together, I think he's probably, when they show the clip of the new and improved, like, Stormtroopers, he's probably going to be, like, that shorter one you see kind of lean out. And then he looks really panicked. The thing that stuck with me, I've probably seen this trailer about 25 times now.
Okay.
And trying to piece everything together, is that everyone looks pretty panicked.
Okay.
He wakes up, he looks like he's sweating, trying to get out of there. We see the girl on a land speeder. All the cast is literally slipping my mind now. But she looks panicked, we see her start it up, take off down what I'm guessing is Tatooine, but you don't actually know.
So for the sure. First Stormtrooper's name, is it John Boyega?
Yeah, that's him. That's okay. Him.
And the girl on
is
the...
Daisy.
Daisy.
Yeah.
Daisy. Not Gwendolyn Christie?
I didn't think that's who it was. I'm pretty sure her name is Daisy.
Okay.
But yeah, like, so she takes off Daisy on the land speeder. Daisy Ridley.
Yeah, she plays Ray.
Yeah. Apparently. Okay. So then John Boyega plays Finn.
Do you know anything about these characters?
They're all being introduced.
Brand new.
Yeah.
Okay.
When you first see the Millennium Falcon, it does that crazy circle thing, which is, like, so fantastic. But then you see it's in the middle of this space battle with two TIE fighters. So it seems like my guess from the 30 seconds we probably have of footage, not even, is that someone's going to come back and with a vengeance. No doubt that guy on the winter planet might be Hoth. I kind of doubt it because of the trees and stuff, but we'll see. And then the biggest thing I liked was you do get a Star Wars feel because of all the different environments. You see, like, the sand, so Tatooine's probably going to be there. You see the water, so that could be a multiple number of, like, planets. The snow, where the Sith Lord appears.
You like that, the hilt on his,
At first I didn't, but then I actually saw, because, like, everybody started complaining about it, and then there was reasoning behind it. And that it acts as the hilt, and that, because I thought it would just detach if you, like, hit it like a normal lightsaber, then it would break apart, the crystals would fall out, and your lightsaber's screwed. But I had to explain that it's one continuous beam, so even if it broke the metal, it wouldn't go through.
There's something about Star Wars, though, like, there's nothing else like it. I don't care what anybody says. Like, I know there's Trekkies out there, and Star Trek in itself is its own wonderful universe that people enjoy, and it's got a lot of richness to it, yeah. But there's just this space opera about Star Wars. The music, the like you said, all of the different places, the geography of it, the characters, the fantasy aspect.
What's always resonated with me with Star Wars is the fact that it's a very fan-built universe. George Lucas did, like, in reality, all George Lucas did was he wrote, like, 6 scripts. Initially, he wrote it as one really long book. But, like, there's nothing else. With Star Trek, you have, like, the TV shows, now these new movies, the older movies and stuff. You have tons of stuff to add towards it. But with Star Wars, it's literally, he made these few, these 6 movies, and then fans just took it and were like, so the rest of the universe is, like, all this, and you have, like, these hundreds of books published all about, like...
So you think in between the two, Star Wars is more powered by the fans? Like, it has more of that backing that built it? Because there is only 6 movies as opposed to...
This whole string of TV shows, yeah.
Television shows and episodes, right? So you think that it's more driven by this... stronger,
like, a very fan-based thing. Not that Star Trek isn't. Star Trek has, like, crazy... hardcore fans, too.
Yeah, because they were one of the first groups to really have, like, these conventions of fandom, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't want to take away from anyone who loves Star Trek, for those who like it. I know I have friends who are really into Star Trek.
But Star Wars is better.
It appeals to me more, just because I like the adventure aspect of it. Like, the old Star Wars, when I would see them as a kid on TV, they'd come on, like... right after 6 o'clock, right after that patch of television that I would watch would be on, and now it felt like it was just over my head. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, it's like...
Not to say that it wasn't good, I didn't have an appreciation for
it's
it.
It's more like a diplomacy
show,
like... Okay, what is Picard so fit? Earl Grey hot. What is exciting about that? What is possibly Earl Grey hot? Like...
It's got its fandom, but, like, I'm with you on it. I like Star Wars. I don't know what it is, and I wasn't somebody who I was a kid born in the 80s. I didn't really get into Star Wars until the movies were re-released for, like, their 20th year anniversary. They got all re-released in the theater.
Yeah.
So I had seen those movies in their full form, all 3 of them. In the theater the way you're supposed to.
Amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. Because it was like, all of a sudden, every couple of months, they re-release. It was like a full-on release again. These movies being shown in the theater, and the theaters were packed.
Yeah.
So for me, it was like experiencing it for the first time, just before the prequels came out.
Yeah. Well, like, I even went to, like, I can't remember what the movie theater in Toronto is. It's, like, a smaller one, and they did, like, a 11 p.m. showing of Return of the Jedi, and it was sold out.
Yeah. It's just, like, I don't know what it is. There's just something about it that
continuously draws you.
Yeah, and that music, like, the John Williams music, like...
John Williams just knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I've been watching,
actually, that's something I don't know. Are they bringing him back?
The music sounded like it. I would imagine. Regardless, you can't make a Star Wars movie without that music. It's a character in itself.
Yeah, that's like, yeah.
Right? It's not like they're rebooting Star Wars and retelling an entire new story from the ground up. Like, I know with The Man of Steel, they went with new music because this is a new Superman for a new generation.
Yeah.
But if they... A lot of people would, I think, would have been completely fine with the John Williams Superman theme because that's just as iconic as any other song if in a movie. Probably, it's debatable. The Star Wars theme, Superman theme, what's more recognizable to
a Star Wars one?
But it's debatable, right? Because some people who've never seen any of those movies, they hear the Superman and they know that's Superman's song.
But like, even people who haven't seen Star Wars... A lot of them still know the, like, dun, dun, dun.
Absolutely. Dun, dun, dun. Indiana Jones, the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Jaws, like, yeah. The guy's incredible. I'd say anything, E.T., anything he touches is basically, like,
I think
that soundtrack is...
All of the movies we mentioned are the movies they are, in large part, to his scores.
Yeah.
I think it plays a huge role.
Yeah, because you can... I remember as a kid, we had the Phantom of the Menace... soundtrack, and I would sit there and I would listen to it, and you can visualize all these events happening just from the music.
Yeah, that's when you know the score is fantastic. Yeah. Yeah. So, as on other trailers that have come out since then, did you see Jurassic World?
I did.
That looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, I like that concept that John Hammond's idea finally went through.
Yeah.
He actually made it.
I always wanted to see that. I always wanted to be like, well, I wish this could actually be an amusement park as opposed to, like, a test run. That always kind of bothered me. It's like, what would this fully functional park be like? So I'm excited to see it. And Chris Pratt now is the guy.
Yeah, the guy.
The guy. He's, like, the new action star. He's almost like, I said it to myself, and this might be sacrilege to everybody, but he's, like, the new generation Harrison Ford, who's in these, like, adventure... Star Wars-esque movies. Now he's doing, like, this, adventure on a planet, like, planet Earth, where the dinosaurs, are, it's a kind of Indiana Jones-esque.
Yeah.
Not exactly, but do you get what the comparison I'm making?
Yeah. Like, I'd like to see him in, like, an original thing, then. Because, like, Jurassic
Guardians.
Park, even...
Guardians is original.
It is. But it's still part of that Marvel canon.
Okay, so you want to see him in something completely
Because, like,
new.
Jurassic World, I have no doubt that he'll play, like, a good role in there.
Yeah.
But it's still all part of that kind of Jurassic Park thing.
Okay. It already has an established universe.
Because, like, that was what was so huge about Harrison Ford. He was Han Solo in, like, this new upcoming franchise. He was Indiana Jones in this.
Yeah, he defined it. Like,
yeah, he made those roles. And, like, I have no doubt that Chris Pine could do it.
Pratt.
Okay, Chris Pine's a guy from Star Trek.
Yes.
So he is another guy.
Oh, yes, he is.
But I have no doubt that he could do it. It's just I'd like to see him given that opportunity.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I mean, Guardians is in itself, as much as it's a Marvel, part of the Marvel franchise, it's the one Marvel movie that is completely different. So different from all of them. It's totally in its... own category in a way. I know it's in that universe and they tie in.
Yeah.
But there hasn't been a Marvel movie like that thus far. I think some people don't even realize initially that's going to be a Marvel thing.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this is a Marvel movie? I didn't know.
Yeah.
So...
My mom has actually seen it more times than me.
Really?
Yeah. She's seen it 5 times now.
Your mom's awesome. Shout out to Jay Siegel's mom. Should be on the show for a Guardians of the Galaxy episode.
She probably forgets all of it. That's
why
she can keep rewatching it. Yeah.
Yeah, but at least she appreciates it. I know my mom wouldn't appreciate that movie. She's not into the Star Wars, none of the sci-fi stuff. I don't know where I get it from because my parents weren't into it, but it's pretty awesome. So there's Jurassic World.
Yeah.
And then Ant-Man. finally released a trailer.
Yep.
What do you think of Ant-Man? I don't know anything. Oh, that's another character that I've never been highly invested in. What did you think of the trailer?
I only watched it that once. Yeah. So do you think it looks interesting? I do actually really like the suit. Okay. I thought that was cool because it's like the new kind of Marvel version of it. It threw me off a bit because they keep calling him Scott, but you explained to me that it's supposed to be Scott's the next one, not Hank Pym.
Yeah, I looked it up. Scott Lang is a thief who became the Ant-Man after stealing Hank Pym's Ant-Man suit to save his daughter, Casey.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So
that explains the trailer then a lot more. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see
what... I'm surprised they're... Like, I know that they're just going with everything now because they've got so much confidence in all of their properties. And, like, I would have never imagined an Ant-Man movie.
Yeah.
I don't know how much of a franchise it's going to be.
Because Hank was married to Janet.
Yes, the Wasp.
So, I wonder what... Because Hank... Because, like, the old Ant-Man, he looks old in this
trailer. Michael Douglas, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, I wonder what they're going to do with Janet, with the Wasp. If they'll just not even bother, or if she'll just be, like, in the background, like, hi.
I wonder why they went with... My...
I guess I would have liked to see Hank Pym, because, like, that's who I know. And, like, I don't know if you ever watched those cartoons, the Avengers ones, where he's in them.
Okay. I've seen the Avengers animated movies.
Yeah, like, the
Ultimate Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I...
So, like, that's where I know him from and, like, see
him. I didn't like him in that.
Yeah, he's like kind of a jerk.
Yeah, he's a D-bag. In the Ultimate comic books, I don't know if you ever read those, that Mark Millar wrote. That's a much more adult take on the Avengers, like, in a modern world. It's a bit... Their origins are similar, but a little different. And they have the... I feel that the Avengers movies kind of take, like, the feel of those books. Like, that was the Avengers version where Nick Fury was modeled after literally Samuel L. Jackson. He actually drew him to look like that.
Yeah.
And I feel that the Avengers movie, the universe, kind of takes a little bit of that feel from it. But in those books, Hank Pym was such a jerk. Like, I couldn't stand him. There was a scene where he's actually... There's, like, domestic abuse.
Yeah, he actually hits Janet.
Yeah, like, so my thing of Ant-Man was always, like, I don't want a movie of that guy, but I know in regular Marvel continuity, he's, I don't know what he's like. He's probably much different. But, yeah, they're going with the Scott Lang Ant-Man. So, everything Marvel's done so far has worked. We'll see.
We have faith.
I'm sure there's, maybe this is the one that bombs.
That'd be hilarious,
right? Because
the
director was changed midway through. This was the movie where they changed directors halfway through. Yeah, so that always kind of makes you a little
wonder
bit,
what's going on there.
Yeah, when the production like that is interrupted. So we'll see. Any other things you're looking forward to in 2015? It's a big year. Avengers is coming out.
There's honestly, I went through and like looked at all the upcoming things like Age of Ultron and stuff like. There's so many things.
Yeah.
Star Wars is like the pinnacle.
Top of your list, yeah.
Yeah. I wish I had the list with me because there are so many movies.
I didn't talk to you about Suicide Squad. They've been all cast.
Yes, they have been. Jared Leto.
Did you think? Would you like that?
I get it.
Yeah.
I get why they cast him. I don't think I've ever seen him in a movie. Like, I know he's been in a lot.
Yeah.
But I can't think of a single movie where... Like, I've seen him as a main role. So I don't know what he's like as an actor.
I like that I like the way they've cast it. I feel like they're taking it seriously. They really want it to work.
Yeah.
And I heard it's rumored that Jesse Eisenberg is going to also be in the Suicide Squad. He's going to be Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
In Batman v Superman.
Oh, because he's the one... He's, like, behind it, isn't he? Yeah. He's... Because
it's Amanda Waller...
Didn't she used to work with or for Lex Luthor?
She worked for Lex Luthor when he becomes president in the comic books. But
so
I
there
don't
is
know.
A connection there.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. I don't know how they're going to tie it in. This is something brand new that I just saw last night while I was getting ready for going to bed and I was looking at my iPod some IGN news. And there is suspicion
that they're going to be making the Batman v Superman movie two-parter. They're going to split it. That there's going to be one called Enter the Night, and then the next one's going to be Dawn for Justice. And I don't know how conclusive that is. It could be just a rumor, but do you think that is a good way to go about it, to make that, if they've already finished it ahead of time and it's a long film, to split it in two parts to introduce Bruce Wayne properly? Because when you think about it, how that movie is shaping up to be with all of the characters they're trying to introduce in that one movie,
two parts would give it more time. Yeah, I think two parts like would solid develop like it 2 hour
and just do movies. It like a couple months apart, like a 6 month gap between the two.
Yeah,
I think that would work.
I think that'd be smarter. Yeah. Especially if in all of that they're trying to even touch on the Dark Knight Returns story, even like take tiny pieces from it, that story needs to be like done justice.
I think so too. Yeah, it's here. Yeah. It's BVS being split into two movies, that's the rumor. And yeah, so they showed
something. I wonder if something. That wasn't the plan from the beginning. They just realized they had too much and they were like, oh, we have like 6 hours, better make 3 movies. And like,
yeah, it's from Ain't It Cool News. They came across a snapshot allegedly for an upcoming Batman vs. Superman trailer. And the first part is rumored to come out 2015, October 23rd, 2015.
Oh, that's like so far.
That's not that far. That's this year. That's
so far.
That's this year. Yeah, October. This year.
That's like so many months.
But then right after that, in March, you're going to get part two of 2016.
Why so long?
What do you want? The next day?
I want like...
Everything all at once.
I want next month, yeah.
I saw a few weeks ago a fan-made show of Nightwing.
Oh, yeah?
And they had a trailer for it, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And he's up against, the villain that he's up against in it is Red Hood. I should show it to you and see what you think later.
I have a bad history. I actually yelled at my computer one time because I found a fan-made thing for Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm.
And when I realized, I went down to the comics. I was like, this is fake. I yelled at my computer. I was so upset. I was like, this would have been so awesome. I was so mad.
It could happen. Nightwing show could happen.
Nightwing.
They reference a lot of Bloodhaven and Arrow.
Yeah. Been getting caught up.
Yeah. All right. So, another thing I wanted to ask you. Before you left for Mexico, you were doing a graveyard shift part-time job for something that seemed to be top secret. And I'm like, what's this guy doing? That's top secret that he can't tell me. And you said it was for some... like breaking of a record, like Guinness or something like that?
Yeah.
Was it literally for Guinness?
Yeah.
Okay, what was the thing? Can you tell us now?
Yeah. Well, since I didn't see you, I could have told you right when I started, because then it was being broadcast and stuff. It was for like the Bell Media Crave TV thing, the launch.
Okay.
So you know how they have Crave TV?
Okay.
So it's like the $4 subscription for like TV shows and stuff. They call it the perfect complement to Netflix. But basically to gain some publicity and, like, cheer on the Bell family and stuff, they attempted to break the longest world record TV marathon. So the previous record was 90 hours, held by some guys in Finland, I think, or Sweden. I'm sorry, I can't remember. But
and they couldn't fall asleep? Is that
the thing? No, yeah, they have to stay awake for that long, watching TV continuously.
Oh, my gosh.
So then they did it. It started off with 6 of them, and then 2 of them fell asleep, or, like, dropped out. But 4 of them managed to finish, and they did 91 hours constant of TV. They watched the entire first season of Arrow.
Yeah?
Yeah. They all hated it.
Really?
Yeah. And, like, they're, like, 2 guys, and they, like, trashed it.
The whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they weren't getting any sleep. You gotta sleep on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, if I was forced to watch anything
for that long,
yeah. And I couldn't choose what it was, I'd get pretty cranky.
Yeah.
I don't know, but some people, Arrow's not for everybody. What do you think of it? Because you've been watching it, right? Oh,
yeah, it just keeps getting better and better.
It gets better, right?
Yeah, and like, they're world building now. They're like saying like, hey, look at these resources and this like friend he has over here and it's all so these good connections now he's starting to make with and like the Flash show. Yeah. It's getting really good.
You're going to love the... When you catch up to season three, the way the mid-season finale was.
No, I'm not there yet.
No, I'm not going to spoil, but you're going to be like, oh, that's wicked.
Almost.
Yeah, you're almost there.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that we're forgetting or we want to bring up that we haven't had a chance to talk about? We're probably forgetting something. But if there's nothing else, it's been a while, let's do a pick of the week.
Okay.
What's your pick of the week?
So my pick of the week is, they are a band I found a couple, probably closer to like 3 months ago, but like I had their album, I had bought it on iTunes, and then just like kind of had it in the background, but then started actually really listening to it about a month ago while I was in Mexico. And then, so it's a band called The Districts.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that, yeah. I think. Okay, yeah.
So they released a self-produced album, Telephone, and it's got, like, this, I don't want to say, like, old folksy, but, like, there is, like, kind of, like, a country-ish, bluesy-ish reference. Like, you can tell that that was an influence, along with some, like, nice indie vibes and, like, just some, like...
Is it in the same vein as, like, Of Monsters and Men type of feel? Or not, Lumineers?
Honestly, I like them better than Lumineers because they aren't acoustic. It's like all okay. Electric and stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, so they're out of Pennsylvania, I'm pretty sure.
Album's Telephone, full-length album? Or yeah, is it like an EP? Full-length,
not 12 songs. So like I think the really big ones right now from it are Funeral Beds and Long Distance. Both of them are like fantastic. I highly recommend checking them out. And then for anyone that lives in Toronto, in February, they're going to be here. Tickets are $12.
Are you going?
Yeah, I am. So I bought my ticket, and you can come and party with Jay Siegel to The Districts.
And you didn't tell me anything. $12 ticket.
I just found them right before I came here? Over here. So and then like
where are they playing?
Horseshoe Tavern. It's that bar. It's... where the heck is it? It's close to Osgood Station. Okay. It's like within walking distance of Osgood Station.
Okay.
But yeah. Yeah, you should come. You and Daphne. Actually, that would be sweet. Yeah. $12.
$12, you can't go wrong. Yeah. Okay. I found one of their albums at the store, but it was an EP. And I'm like, this can't be the one that you were recommending.
Yeah. I have crazy respect for them because they released a full-length album. And then they went back. They released an EP with two new songs, and I think it's three songs off their album. That because this was now they're like on an official label.
Okay.
So they released them like polished. Okay. And stuff. Not that there's anything.
So the EP is like the newer thing that they've had.
Yeah. Okay. And then I think like it kind of sucks. I think it's about a week before they come here. Their newest album gets released. So I'm gonna like get that and like. Listen to it hard, that way I'm all prepared.
Yeah, it's always good to go to a concert and being like when you know the music like the back of your hand at that yeah. show, there's no better experience than I remember being at the Weezer concert or the Pixies concert when I was younger. I was at a hip hop show that I knew every single song that was played and even the rare songs. When you know the rare songs to an artist or a band and yeah. you can sing along with them, there's no experience like yeah. that. So yeah, I get what you mean. Okay, yeah, I'm gonna check it out because I checked out Thermal's album.
Yes.
I listened to it. I liked it. Definitely the type of music I like. I gotta listen to a little bit more to really love it, obviously. But what I've heard so far is definitely catchy, and it's the intro music to this week's episode to anyone who's wondering.
Yeah.
So
actually, for the next one, we should do this District song. That way they get a taste.
The District song to open yeah. up the show? Okay. Sounds good. I got to
try as many people because they're like a slow up and comer band.
But then there's going to be no tickets for me to get if you draw too many people because yeah, we've got listeners all over the world now.
Get them tonight.
Apparently, our wild card was telling me, who's our web designer and master. He was telling me we've got listeners like in Hawaii and
wow.
There was a possibility there was listeners in Russia.
Oh, Hannah. Family.
But
family stays together.
But I don't think there's listeners in Russia. I think it was just like a prank or something.
Ah.
But we are building a listenership.
If there's someone in Hawaii, please like
email us.
Email us and
that'd
say
be wicked,
like
right?
Honolulu. I don't know any pigeon. A city there. I don't know any pigeon. Isn't that what it is? It's like pigeon dialect or something?
I don't know.
Amazing.
Okay. You have a pick of the week this week. I don't know if I have a pick of the week. What have I read recently?
Klondike bars.
To go with the Malonas.
Yeah.
Well, I was in New York, actually. I read a Spider-Man, Marvel Knights Spider-Man graphic novel written by Mark Millar and Terry Dodson. And it was something I've been meaning to read, but kind of had on my shelf sticking around. So when I was in New York, I'm like, okay, let me get the New York vibe and read a character that's, you know, going through the city with me. And it's 12 issues split up into 4 different parts. And it's a really good read. It has a bunch of different villains. It's all 4 parts are their own stories. But at the end, they all tie in together. So, I mean, if you want a good Spider-Man story that's not so childish, Mark Millar's Marvel Knights Spider-Man is really good. I recommend that one. Anything else that I can think of new? I've just been reading a lot of Spider-Man lately. I've gotten back on the Spider-Man train a little bit. But that's it. No other pick of the weeks for me. We've covered news. We've covered our pick of the weeks. This episode 11, is a special one. And we're going to dedicate it to Philly P, who was one of our first email write-ins. And we've been putting this off for a while because we've been waiting for you to come back. Daphne J wanted us to do it with you. Now she's busy watching the Golden Globes.
She bailed on us.
She bailed on us. But she is going to come up with a list for the...
Oh, is that what it is? She just doesn't have her list?
I don't know.
Cop out.
I don't know. I think she's taking the list very seriously, and she wants to, like, blow us out of the water with it.
But when mine is pretty well thought over.
Think you got the best list? Okay. So, just to go back to give Philly P another shout out, I want to reread his email originally of what he asked us, because this was his show topic idea. And so anybody who's listening, we want to let you know that if you send us a show topic idea that is not inappropriate, we will do it. We will cover any top 5 you want to give us, a book you maybe want us to cover, an album you maybe want us to talk about. We will consider it and probably do it. So for Philly P, since he was our first person to give us a show topic, we're going to do what he requested. So this was his email. It goes, I was listening when I had an idea for a topic or a segment, whatever you want, just an email reply. But everyone is always talking about their favorite superhero, their top 5 favorite DC characters, etc. And that's always been done. There's no real fun there, so it's just a plain old list. Then my mind idled and started thinking about sports, as it often does, and that's when it hit me. What would it be like if you put your combined love of comics with sports? A starting lineup of comic book characters. Now, hockey's only 5 on the ice at a time, so that might narrow your options. But I figure I'd make it a little more interesting in terms of positioning. So let's do soccer. 11 on the field. Here's what I want to know. For each of you, create your own comic character starting 11, taking into account their role on a team. Like a goaltender, defenders, midfielders, forwards. Let's call it a 4-4-2 formation. So you don't just have 11 strikers that obliterate everyone, but you still have options, i.e. a defensive midfielder, offensive left back, attacking mid, striker combination, etc. It's do you still feel like you've thought out your thing well enough?
I don't know anything about soccer.
Okay.
I am confident in my picks, though.
Okay. This might have been a better idea conceived in my head when I explained it out loud, but I still want to know. I'm curious now. So let's see your soccer superhero starting 11. Your dedicated and faithful cave dweller, Philly P. Thanks again, Philly P, for emailing. He emailed us he sent us another email that we can maybe read at the end of the show. But I figured I couldn't just look at it from a soccer team perspective of superheroes, because I think Daphne J made an interesting point in one of the episodes where we previewed this. She's like, I just put the Flash everywhere. Because he could just do everything, right? The speed factor would just obliterate, right?
Yeah.
So I wanted to do it from the perspective of, like Philly P suggested, actual positioning. But if there was like an ultimate battle for planet domination and you needed 11 heroes to protect your home who would you want on your side doing what? Who would you put where and for what reasons? Mm. And then at the same time, combine it with, you know, the metaphor of them being like soccer players. So do you want to go first or should I go first?
Starting to think I might have done this wrong. But nonetheless, I'm still confident in my list.
Okay.
And I will argue my positions to death.
Okay.
So how did we want to do it? Go like positions.
Okay, let's do positions. We'll start with our who would we have as our strikers?
Okay. So I said, I clearly have not listened to the one where she said the Flash. So I said the Flash.
Okay.
Because he's fast and he can get stuff done quick. He'll put the ball in the back of the net like that. Nice.
Okay. So scoring wise, he's the guy, the speedster. You want speedster up front to score your goals.
Yeah, he's not gonna be the muscle you want in like a defenseman.
Okay.
And some of the Flash has always kind of struck me as a little more immature. He's kind of a jokester. So, like, he's the one that'll just, like, finish it level-headed. Or not so necessarily level-headed, but, like, get it done.
Okay.
And then I had Spider-Man, because he's got ultimate agility and, like, can jump really high. And, like, yeah, he'll be able to knock.
The proportionate strength of a spider.
Yeah. Like, his kick is going to be, like, super powerful.
So you were looking at it from the perspective of who would score your goals. And we have a guest entering the Cave of Solitude.
I'm bearing gifts.
Yo, what are you come bearing, Daphne J?
Malone. Malone.
Okay. So are you going to join us now with your top 11? We're going through it from
Is
the
start.
Is that
what you're doing right now?
Yeah, we're doing it right now. You missed some big stuff, some big news, but I'm going to have to share with you after. Just a little preview of what you missed. There's talks that they're making the Batman vs. Superman movie two movies. What do you think of that?
Like a part one, part two?
Yeah.
Like a Mockingjay.
Yeah. You like that?
I don't know.
You're not sure?
How did you know this?
I just looked it up. But that's past now. You can't talk about it no more because we're doing our top 11.
Sorry.
I can't have a Malona while I'm doing the podcast because you're going to be... Very uncomfortable, awkward noises. Malona. Can you put these back in the freezer, Daphne J?
What is wrong with...
Oh.
So you don't want it?
I do, but
fine,
I don't...
Fine, whatever.
You're Take gonna eat them all? I'll yeah. have one after. Thank you, Daphne J.
Thank you.
Are you coming back to join us?
I don't know.
She's not sure. She's bashful. Okay, so you got the Flash and... getting back on track. Flash
yes.
and Spider-Man. Okay.
Who did you choose?
So... I tried to look at it from both angles.
Mm-hmm.
Who would I want to causing the damage to the opposing team? Either scoring the goals or delivering some damage. So I'm thinking strikers. I'm thinking Thor. He's got the hammer. God of Thunder. Lightning. And then on the same side, who would I want beside him? Well, why not have Shazam? Captain Marvel. Again, lightning striking, both powerhouses.
Does Jay Siegel have a diagram there?
Jay Siegel has...
I am prepared.
He's got the coaching formation.
Trust me, I went through with this with Michaela, my sister, and I was like, hey, I'm going to argue each of these positions because like they're going to be on top of stuff, so I'm going to be on top of stuff.
So I'm thinking my front line, these guys are practically indestructible. What's going to take them down? You got the power of Mjolnir, the God of Thunder, you got
they're
Lightning.
Like, they're like big. My guys could like dig around them.
But but
Golazo.
But Shazam, Captain Marvel, he's got the speed of Mercury.
Yeah.
So he's not as fast as the Flash, but he's pretty fast.
Yeah.
And Thor's got the hammer.
Are you talking about your two forwards right now?
I'm talking about two forwards.
Okay,
that's
I'm
a powerhouse forward.
Thor hitting a soccer ball, like a Nike soccer ball, obliterating it.
And you think that Thor wouldn't obliterate anything he hit? Or Shazam? Okay, Daph J, do you have two forwards?
I do.
All right.
But I thought we were going to do forwards last.
No,
too
we're
late.
Doing forwards first.
See,
the
if you had been here, you could have had a say, but it's too late now. Should have stayed.
Okay, what do you got? Who's your forwards?
Obviously, my forward is Batman.
You'd want Batman as your number one striker.
I would.
Okay, why?
Because he's very tactical.
Okay.
And he gets a job done. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he, when it comes to the Justice League, he's considered one of the, like, he's one of the leaders, right?
Okay.
So
yeah.
He would be the guy.
So, okay, Batman's one of your guys to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So if there was a battle, because you guys are looking at it a little, I think.
And he could be, like, he can kind of, you know how sometimes the team can be, like, on the shoulder of one man?
Okay.
Like, he's that kind of guy that he would leave everybody to their, you know, positions, to their responsibilities, but he will take off and go under in a tunnel, or, like, he'll take on something on his own.
Okay.
Like, he has his own way of breaking down a system, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. So if this was a battle now, right? And I know this is extremely geeky to people that are listening, but that's what's wicked about this show. We're geeks and we're proud. If you were having a battle and your life was on the line.
I thought they were playing soccer. I thought that's this whole thing was about.
It's both.
You're making this heavy, dude.
No, but it's both, right? Because he wants, Felipe
then
wants
a
sports formation.
Like Superman, Thor. I want like every heavy hitter.
Right, but that's...
This is about playing soccer.
Okay, but if you had to say in soccer, right?
Yeah.
If you had to say, this guy is Superman, right? Who would be the Superman of soccer?
I don't know. I know nothing about soccer.
Okay, how about you? Who would you say, if you
Wayne
had to give
Gretzky.
One character or one player in the world of soccer, who would you consider to be the Superman of...
Alongside Batman, my other forward, my other striker would be...
Yeah.
It's not who you think it's... Okay. It's not a superhero.
Okay.
In...
David Beckham.
It would be Lionel Messi. He's actually on my list.
But we can actually choose soccer players?
No, you can't use soccer players.
Because he's my superhero when it comes on the field, of course.
No, this is...
It would be Lionel Messi, sorry.
Please, you should let her have it. All of our characters would kill him.
Yeah.
He may be good at soccer.
This is for Philly P. Send a shout out to Philly P. He's
Philly
listening.
P.
Okay, Philly P. He says, give me your starting 11 superheroes. Fictional. Comic book.
Did it say fictional in the email?
Yes, it does. It says, mix your love of comic with sports. So, he said, where is it? Your soccer superhero starting 11.
Lionel Messi
wow.
is my soccer superhero.
No,
alongside Batman,
that
I
means
would
our
put him.
Strikers
okay.
are up against.
So
his.
Now, if we're gonna, because I also said to you, we're gonna do it from both angles. If it was a team playing soccer, which is kind of ridiculous to imagine superheroes playing soccer.
That's exactly what my entire list is.
Okay,
imagining them as a soccer team.
But then taking that soccer formation and using it as who would I want to protect me. In this style, using the mentality of how you map out a soccer team. So your soccer team, your superheroes in soccer, right, are the guys who score the most goals. Let's say they're the superstars. They're the guys,
Messi.
Right? But if you had to give Messi a who would he be the equivalent of in comic books to you? If you had to say this guy is this person in comics, if he's in your opinion the best player in the world, who would his superhero counterpart be? For you, would you say Superman? Would you say Captain America? Would you say...
I would say Superman.
He'd be the Superman.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's who you maybe want as a striker. You're Superman. And then...
I have Superman in a different position.
That's fine. And Ronaldo is arguably the next greatest player in the world. Like, you can't deny how great of a talent he is, regardless if you like him as a person. Ronaldo's a fantastic soccer player. He's world renowned. Who would he be the equivalent of?
He plays for Portugal, right?
Mm-hmm. He's on the Portuguese
nice.
Team. And he plays for Real Madrid.
Mm-hmm.
So who would his equivalent of a superhero be?
I don't know. He's a baby to me altogether. I don't see him as a superhero.
Okay, but if you
my
have to
grade 10 science teacher had like a picture of him topless on his computer.
What?
Oh, have I told you?
Yeah, he did. Okay, would it be fair to say that Ronaldo would be Thor? Based on his power, his skill set, someone who's a striker that just destroys the net. You know that every game he's going to score at some point in time. Like, his execution is there. You wouldn't compare him to Thor?
No.
Who would you compare him to? Don't pick someone you just hate. Because you got to give him credit for... Would you compare him to Batman? Because Batman can be a
absolutely
D-bag.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Okay, so you're going to pick Lionel Messi and Batman as your forwards.
I like
maybe
it.
Falcon. I might compare him to Falcon.
Falcon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
Captain America's
play.
Buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because if you're saying that he's swift and he's fast, well, Falcon kind of has
I'm talking about the dominance.
So does Spider-Man.
I'm talking about the dominance of Ronaldo. Like, it can't be denied how good he is. Okay, but those are your picks. That's fine. Midfielders now. Who are your midfielders?
No, my picks, let's get this straight, is Batman and Lionel Messi.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I have it written down.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. So,
You're up next with
my
midfielders.
My midfielders. So,
I'm going to check out the Golden Globes.
I have Dick Grayson. Surprise, surprise. You knew a Robin had to be on my team somewhere.
Okay.
Because, and so, I was very torn, and actually this is where I spent probably a solid like half an hour in debate with myself, looking through stories and stuff, like who should I choose between him and Tim Drake. But Tim Drake, while yes, he is the leader of the Teen Titans in the New 52, he has always been more of like, he always has described himself as being Batman's sidekick. That's what he wanted. That's
yeah.
who he is.
He doesn't care to be anything else.
He doesn't care to be that leader.
He wants to be Robin.
Tim, Dick Grayson, though, he pushed to get out of that, and he led the Teen Titans with, like, I don't know.
He's the one with no powers who's the best leader.
Yeah.
Like, he's an undeniable leader.
Mm-hmm.
Tactical, everything. And a part of that's being trained from Batman.
Yeah. So, he is who I would choose for my first. Then, I would choose Cyborg as my next. I'm not just going all Teen Titans. But, because out of all the superheroes, he's the only one I could remember that has an actual athletic background. Because he's supposed to be like an all-state football champion in high school.
That's interesting.
So he has that athletic background. So while, yes, all these superheroes know stuff, he has that athletic, like, you know how they say sometimes there's just like, what's the word, like intuition?
Yeah,
or like
yeah, yeah.
Athletic.
Some people are just athletic naturally.
Yeah, so he had that, so I want him there, but with his robotic body, like, booyahing all the way up and down the field.
Okay.
And then,
yeah.
My next pick is Nightcrawler.
Okay.
Because you can go, disappears. Yeah, just appear in front of you, take the ball, kick it, and then, like, literally, he is one of those people who could pass it to himself.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is fantastic. And my last one, for sheer number's sake, is Multiple Man from the X-Men. Yes! Because while
you can only have one guy on the field!
He is one guy, just divided. Bam. To overwhelm the enemy.
I think you're going to get fouled in
I
no
think
time.
That was a good pick.
Okay,
those are my picks.
You guys are really looking at putting together a soccer team.
Yeah, I thought that.
Okay.
Bad for not
that's
having
fine.
Realized that. That is what I thought we were doing.
No. Hey, you can put any team together you guys like. No problem. My midfielders.
Yeah.
I was taking it from the perspective of the midfielders being the heart of your team.
Mm-hmm.
The guys who are the leaders, the guys that are the X factors, as much as they're not as celebrated as the Lionel Messi's or the Ronaldo's. They're the guys that they're the backbone. They're the quarterback of your team.
Mm-hmm.
So who would I want to quarterback
any
team
any
or
team.
To protect? If I was getting a team to protect my home, who would I want to be the leaders of that?
Yeah.
So I had Thor and Shazam being the strikers that were going forward on the front line because they're pretty indestructible. But then the guys that I felt would have the leadership skills as well as the ability to put a finishing touch on anything. In the middle would be Batman, because he's such a tactician, because he always finds a way to lead people, even if they're much more powerful than he is, he knows how to organize a team.
Mm-hmm.
He's like super OCD in that way, right? And he has a way to stop anybody if he wanted to. He's always got a backup plan.
Yeah.
So I'd love, Batman's a natural born leader. And then beside him in the middle would be Captain America. That guy could lead forces into World War II. He leads the Avengers. Everybody looks to Captain America as the natural leader, no matter who's on their team. They always look to him. And he's extremely strong. He's an incredible fighter. The respect factor that people have for him is immense. So him and Batman in the middle, who's not going to listen to them? Beside them, on the outside, protecting everything.
You should have put him on your left to reference the captain. On your left.
Captain America is on the left side of the field, though.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Actually, I know I didn't put him there, but whatever. And then on the outside, to have a little bit of power, speed. Because insulated Captain America are kind of Captain America and Batman in the middle are kind of controlling everything around them, but on the outside to protect everything, I put Superman on Batman's left-hand side, and then on Captain America's right-hand side, I put Wonder Woman, because she can kick everybody's butt. She's a trained to take out Superman if she wanted to. She's an Amazon goddess. She's not afraid of any man, and Superman is Superman. Like, he could have just...
That doesn't need much argument.
No, Superman is... You could put him anywhere on the field, you'd be like, yeah, that's right, you should put him there.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about putting him and Wonder Woman as the attackers, because they're such a good team together, but I figure if you put them on the outside of the midfield to protect Batman and Cap as they lead the team, I'd be happy with that. Daff J?
I think it's very interesting how you have Wonder Woman and Superman on the outskirts. Wow. Had the exact same
format. Same format? Okay.
Yeah, same format. And then in the middle, for the same reasons, too.
So wait, you have Superman and Wonder Woman?
Yeah. Okay. And then I actually have Wolverine there.
In the middle?
Yeah, in the middle.
Okay.
On Wonder Woman's side.
Okay.
I just felt like because he's a little bit...
The smaller guy?
He's a smaller guy. He can be like...
Vicious?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, he has his claws. So yeah. He has that extra...
Inchery?
He's got the... Okay. His claws. Good, yeah, right, yeah. You know what I mean?
Extra wingspan?
Yeah.
Inchery. Okay.
And why then, wouldn't you want Falcon then? He's got the major wingspan.
But he's not a killer like Wolverine.
No.
Wolverine's a finisher.
But he's got the wingspan. He has the extra, extra inchery.
Okay.
And then,
I'm gonna move the mic a little closer.
Am I not close enough?
You know what? You probably are, but you're farther than usual.
Okay.
So.
And then my next superhero was in the lineup with Spider-Man.
Yes.
Okay. Why would you put Spider-Man and Wolverine in the middle?
I feel like they would complement each other because, like I said, Wolverine's a little bit lower to the ground and Spider-Man always works a little bit lower to the ground. So they would kind of like be able to complement each other. They kind of, you know what I mean? Like, they would have the same kind of playing method. So okay. They would be able to communicate in that way on the field.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And good. I think they can keep up with each other because they're quick.
They're pretty good. A duo when they're in the comics together when they fight, because one's one can take aerial battle and then the other guy handles the ground. One's
They were
extremely
always, like,
smart,
the most entertaining in New Avengers to see them together.
One's extremely smart. People don't realize Spider-Man is a genius because he's always comical.
Mm-hmm.
And then Wolverine has just got a killer instinct.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's a
That's
good
an
pick.
Interesting combination. I like it. Yeah.
I like it too. Okay, so your defenseman.
Alright.
Who do you got on defense?
So, before I even knew about the trailer, I have Ant-Man. He can grow to incredible size. Think about it. He just, like, kicks a ball. It's like, poof, out of there.
Gone. Okay.
Yeah, he's gone. Then I have Terra. She can control the Earth. Someone's running, just like, boom, oh, you tripped. Too bad.
Cause an earthquake.
You try, cause an earthquake. Someone's,
okay.
like, gone.
Okay.
Then, this one might be questionable, but I have Sue Storm. Because... Defense, you think, is, like, almost that last line. Not quite. They're the defender.
Yeah.
They wouldn't see her coming. They think they have a breakaway. All of a sudden, hit that invisible wall.
Very cool.
Destroyed.
That's cool.
And my last one. This one is mainly for you guys. Hello, Megan. Because, okay, so her powers, yeah, she can fly and stuff. Whatever, that's good. But I chose her for I forget what the name is. Like, telepathic link she can create.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to be on the same page without having to give their plan away to the other team.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So, how would your defense be helpful if it was life's on the line? That backup line. Your last line of defense for protection. How would you justify that?
Well, then I would not have chosen Sue Storm and Megan.
You got three girls on defense.
I do. I think that is
I played D.
Social service.
Where I was good.
Up. Feminism and everything. Ant-Man could step on them. Terra could open up the earth and eat them.
Okay.
Nice. Squash them with rocks and stuff, because maybe that'll help.
Okay. My last line of defense, I have, I've got the Flash on the left side, obvious reasons. He's fast, He could create vortexes. He can, at his great speed, no one can see him coming. He can penetrate through solid objects mm-hmm. with that speed. He could travel through time if he goes fast enough. He can make tornadoes if he goes in a whirlwind, like create a whirlwind.
Mm-hmm.
So that barrier would be created. I'm looking at people who can be off, can attack, but can also create barriers with their powers. So I got Flash on the left-hand side,
mm-hmm.
and then on the opposite side, on the right side of the field, I've got Storm from the X-Men.
Mikaela actually suggested it to me.
Because she, as a last line of defense, anyone trying to penetrate that last wall, you've got the Flash creating some type of vortex or whirlwind, and Storm creating a tornado.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck trying to get through that. But the two people who could, well, I have Spider-Man there because he's one of my favorites, and he's always got...
On your defense?
He's on my defense. He's in the middle because he's got the webbing. I feel like he would put up some sort of a barrier wall to stop someone from getting through. He is definitely a tactical fighter. He's extremely smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so then Tara was a good pick. She can put up the earth wall. Nice. Yeah.
And Spider-Man's the type of character where he will go up against people he has no business fighting. And
yeah.
he'll find a way to beat them. He's I think, one of the very few characters who's always put in those positions where he doesn't stand a chance, but he finds a way. That's what makes Spider-Man a hero. He won't quit until he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
And there's many times where he should die, but he just doesn't give up because of that responsibility factor. I want a responsible person on defense. Spider-Man's that guy.
Yeah.
And beside him, in the middle, would be Green Lantern. Because with that ring, he could put up all kinds of lines of defenses to stop someone from getting through. And he's as powerful, he's got the most powerful weapon in the universe. So as a last line of defense, I figure, okay, Green Lantern could definitely be a striker if you want to, but I also want him at the
so
back
like
because of the willpower.
Two tornadoes happening,
two
a web
tornadoes,
wall, and
web
this
wall.
Massive green barrier.
And the green barrier could protect him and Spider-Man from being affected by
the tornadoes
happening.
Good picks.
What do you got, Daphne?
We're meant to be?
Yeah.
Because I have Green Lantern on that line, too.
Yeah.
And in the same position, I'm thinking, because when I was putting this formation together, I'm thinking barriers.
Right.
So same thing, the ring, he could imagine any type of, like, fence, whatever.
Right, anything.
Right? The next person in the middle, I actually went with Martian Manhunter.
Okay.
Shapeshifter.
Right.
Turn into whatever he wants to just block whatever he needs to do. You know, he can go into like a U form.
He's extremely powerful.
Yeah. And he can just manipulate the ball whatever way he wants because he could be anything.
See that? If I was facing your team, that's when I would put Johnny Storm on the striker.
Go away!
And Martian Manhunter would go and eat Oreo cookies somewhere because the fire would scare him.
Is he on the formation at all?
Johnny Storm?
Mm.
No.
Okay.
No, I don't have. But I got... Shazam and Thor, just strike him with lightning, set him ablaze.
But
no, I like Martian Manhunter.
On the side of Martian,
he's good.
I have Captain America.
Okay.
Because again, barrier. I'm thinking shield, and then his shield is like
unstoppable.
Right, so he would help Martian Manhunter defeat or protect him from said Johnny Storm.
Okay,
and the last dude would be Hulk.
On defense.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a good pick.
See, okay, my argument with the Hulk, I had thought about him for my team, he's too unpredictable. He gets into like a rage against a team, all of a sudden he just starts like whipping your teammates.
I thought
and,
about
like,
that,
destroying
but when
everyone.
But when he's like, when he is aware of the situation, I feel like he's focused. He knows what's around him. He knows what's going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if there's a plan, if there's a... what's the word I'm looking for?
If there's a plan of action, if there's some sort of tactics.
He's good.
Okay.
He can handle it. He's going to do it his way, but he'll still keep within the limits of what needs to get done.
Yeah. Okay. So who's your goalie, Jay Siegel?
From the goalie standpoint, chose Reed Richards. Super flexible, can reach to all corners, and if he wants, expand into that wall so the net's just blocked.
So like Elastic Man.
Yeah.
Or Plastic Man.
Plastic Man.
Yeah.
What is that, Marvel?
Plastic Man is DC, Mr. Fantastic is Marvel, and then there's Elongated Man with the dumbest name ever who has the same power set as all of them.
That was my last line of defense.
My last line of defense is the Hulk. Mm-hmm. If someone's coming at me, whether they're, if he's going to be my goalie, he's got the paws, he's got the size, he's got the power. Imagine that corner kick. And Hulk is in the crease. He's going to punch that ball out of there. Who's going to come close to him? Hulk smash. But if my life was on the line and someone needed to protect my family, I want the biggest, angriest monster who will get upset that someone's trying to hurt my family. That guy will not be stopped. I mean, I know Superman would do a good job too, but Hulk is possessive. Like, he's possessed in his anger. And the more you try to take him down, the more he's going to get up and just beat you. So I'd want the Hulk to be my last line of defense because all his job would be is not to pass the ball or not to, hey, protect that guy, make sure he's okay. It's just smash anything that comes here. That's his only instruction. Anything that comes in this area, kill it.
Interesting.
So he would be my last line of defense. FJ, you're the last one. Who's your goalie?
This isn't anything new. I said this before. It would definitely be the Flash.
The Flash.
Get there in no time. How many times have we seen a game or in a World Cup competition or Euro Cup where just there's just fingertips?
And he'd make it.
You know what I mean?
He'd see it before anything.
Oh, absolutely. And he'd be having fun doing it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if our lives were on the line and you had the orb from Guardians of the Galaxy that everybody wanted, and you had the top 11 heroes to protect you, would you want your last line of defense to be Mr. Fantastic?
Yes.
And when all else fails, your last person there, you'd say, Flash, you're the guy who's going to stop Thanos.
They had to take it back to the Nova Corps to protect it. Who would have gotten it there quicker? The Flash.
But I'm saying to fight for your family. To deliver that punch, to deliver that protective wall to stop anything from getting through to you, you'd feel comfortable with the Flash.
Yes.
Yes, you're sticking with it?
Yeah, I'm sticking with it.
Okay, cool.
That's interesting. So out of the 11, you guys chose 8 of the same people to be on your team.
Really?
Yeah.
And I wasn't even here when you...
No, we didn't make it. We didn't make the team together. So that's what you were marking down there, Siegel?
I was writing down your guys' positions. Yeah.
So what did you think? After your... Everyone's going to be biased to their own team, obviously. The only thing that I take...
I'm saying if we were going off like physical battle, yeah, I think your team would like destroy mine. Like, no problem. But in a soccer match, I have faith in my team. They were all chosen. I went all Billy... That's like a... who's a guy from Moneyball? I went all that guy. I went all Brad Pitt Moneyball style. I chose the ones no one wanted, and I made a team.
Who would be your coach?
Hmm?
Who would be the Batman. Coach?
My coach? Professor Xavier.
He's in a wheelchair. He can't... Like, he's gonna roll up
the field. No. Think about it. You chose someone telekinetic to connect your team, to have a plan.
Yeah.
I want my coach to be able to do that.
Smart.
I want my coach to be the one to say, okay, guys,
then she's the linking Batman in and Batman's doing it all too. It's the exact same.
Yeah, but
can
she's
he
playing.
Make other people hear other people's thoughts?
Yes.
Huh.
He's the most powerful telepath. So he could almost stop time for them and talk to them in like a frozen state to say, okay, guys.
Oh, yeah, he does that.
Let's stop.
Yeah, very cool.
So he would be my coach. I was going to pick Nick Fury to be my coach just because he's the leader of S.H.I.E.L.D.
He gets butt kicked all the time.
But I'm like, no, I want. And I was going to pick Alfred or Oracle to be my coach because, I mean, it's Alfred. Yeah. He protects Batman. But Xavier, he's a bit of a nutcase in himself, right? In his own way. So I think you put that guy as a coach, the detail, the attention to detail, the ability to get everybody linked up on the same page, he'd be my guy. I don't need my coach to run around and fight. Who's your coach?
Oracle.
Oracle's your coach. Mm-hmm. I was close, wasn't I? Mm-hmm. Why Oracle? Another person in a wheelchair. We don't want our coaches to walk. Why Oracle?
I think Batman has trained her to just think on her feet. You have to, because anything can happen on the field. Things unravel when you
come up with a plan.
Just come up with a game plan. What's
next? That one failed. Next one.
Next, just move on. Keep going. You gotta do it quick.
So, it's safe.
And
to
she
say,
doesn't like panic. Like I never, she never like panics under pressure. Like, and that's a lot, right? Like the coaches, they gotta play cool. Like they don't get overly excited when they get a goal in. They look a little cheese when something goes wrong, but they keep it. You know what I'm saying? I think Oracle, she emulates that perfectly.
Okay. So basically, at the end of all of our lists, this is what I've concluded. Jay basically says, I just want the Teen Titans to be on my team. The Teen Titans do it all.
Welcome to the party.
Daphne, Jay, nothing's changed with you. It begins and ends with Batman. He's the key to the universe for you. And Lionel Messi. Barcelona Word. And Batman. Word. That's all Daph Jay needs. And for me, I went super geek and overthought this whole process and really thought about if my life was on the line, who would I want to protect? The three of us in this room.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. So I think Jay's right. We would live based on my team.
We would win based on mine.
What about me?
In a soccer game.
I think your team would win simply because Lionel Messi is the only real person. So you've got the best chance of someone actually scoring a goal.
There you go. They have real talent. Someone who knows how to manipulate the ball.
So we all outsmarted each other. So Philly P, for episode 11, we picked our top 11 for you. I hope it was entertaining for you. He sent us another email.
He did.
And it's a little bit, I wasn't exactly sure what he wanted to go for, but he's got an interesting idea. So here's what he put. So I got to thinking the other day, this is what he says. You guys are always so good at analyzing a graphic novel from so many different angles. Thank you. I didn't think we were that good, but I appreciate your compliment. Paying special attention to the little things and all the details. A lot of times, the discussion centers on what comes next for the character, the storyline, based on clues and observations from the material. That discussion at the end of an issue that leaves a lot of loose ends in both is both great for the discussion it creates, but at the same time, it's unsettling with all the unfinished endings and ambiguous conclusions that drive you to madness trying to theorize what actually happened. So my situation for you comic book analysts is this. So my suggestion, I think he's meant to say. I present the comic book genie, and he copyrighted it. The comic book genie will answer one and only one question about anything that has bugged or unsettled you or just plain baffled you in your comic media consumption. I mean, you really want to know what happened in this one specific instance, but you could never find out for sure. Now, since you guys are incredibly knowledgeable, maybe you've answered all your burning questions. Although, I really think for that same reason, you have even more of these types of questions. Well, here's your chance. Ask the comic book genie the one question you've always wanted answered. Who knows? Maybe one of the cave dwellers has the answer you seek. Either way, let's hear your one burning question for the comic book genie. Your dedicated and faithful cave dweller, Philly P.
So, are we the comic book genie?
That's what I wasn't sure about. So, I reached out to Philly P.
Philly P.
And I asked him.
Yeah, I'm like, that is so gangster. It's unreal. I felt it.
So I reached out to Philly P, and I wanted a little bit more of a conclusive understanding of what he meant. So what he was referring to, he got back to me, and he said, take something, for instance, like Interstellar. Or Interstellar is a good example, but he referred to Inception. Did a spinning top actually stop, or did it keep going? Was he dreaming, or did he wake up? Mm-hmm. No one knows for sure.
I think it toppled a little bit at the end.
Okay, so there's an example of the comic book genie. And then you've got to go and explain why. He said, like, if the person thinks that it toppled at the end.
But then I don't know because his kids are the same age that he was imagining them to be.
Right, so now you've got to think to yourself.
Oh, I'm sad all over again.
So what he's saying is, since it's ambiguous and open to what you think could have been, or what it should have been, or whatever, you can state your case as to why. Give us the evidence as to why you come to that conclusion, and answer the question. Doesn't mean that it is the right answer.
So are we picking one, or are we waiting for someone to give us one?
So perhaps you've got a question, and you say, okay, I've got a question this week for someone who might know the answer. I want someone to answer this question for me, and I'll give you what I think it was, if I have an idea.
Okay.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't have anything for this week, but I said that I would read Philly P's email.
Yeah, besides, like, Inception or, like, Shutter Island, I can't think of...
Well, there's even some books. Like, for instance, The Killing Joke has an ambiguous ending. I don't know if you've read that.
But didn't the writer come out fully and...
But he left it ambiguous on purpose. So it's up to the
reader to decide. But I thought he came out later and said, this is what happens.
It was so it's no Grant longer. Morrison saying, this is what happens, and it's obvious because this and this reason.
Oh.
So...
Oh, I thought that was...
Yeah, I mean, it is. You can make that conclusion, but it's left ambiguous on purpose.
Yeah.
For people to decide. So...
Cool.
Let's think about that. Think of something that you want to know the answer to that you may not know, or you just want cleared up.
Yeah.
Because the answer is there, perhaps, but you just need to figure it out. All right. So, I want 2000... This is our first episode of 2015. This is a big year. This is the year that they went back to the... They went to the future and back to the future.
Yeah. Did you see Nike is gonna do the shoes?
Daphne, can I have the shoes, please?
Come on.
I want the whole outfit. For that specific day.
You've been looking for that
outfit. October 21st, 2015. I want to go to work. No, I'm not going to work that day.
Amazing. Just walk around Toronto.
Dressed like that.
Yeah.
How many people do you think that's amazing? I actually want to have... I think it's a Wednesday. I want to have that day set aside for a Back to the Future marathon.
You know that it's a Wednesday. That's so...
That's very geeky.
Makes me like it all the more.
Yeah, so we're going to have a special Back to the Future year this year. But I want us to do some more movies, selections. If anyone has some recommendations to that they something they'd like to hear discussed, we're up for it. And I had an idea. Oh, the other day, me and you were talking about the next Batman book we should cover. And we have enough copies that we can all read this book together. And it's Batman, Daphne J, so you should be in on this.
I'm in.
There was a book that I had as a kid called The Untold Legends of Batman. Mm-hmm. It's a small little graphic novel, pocket size, like a digest. And to my surprise, one of the first times me and Jay Siegel hung out, when I found his Weezer guitar strap, I also found this book on his shelf. That's how I knew the friendship was even more meant to be. Because it was one of my favorite books as a kid. And it's from 1982 it was published. So for him to have read it, for me to have read it, despite the generation gap, I was like, we need to cover this book. It's written by Len Wein, one of the comic book's most famous creators. So we should all read it for one of our next episodes coming up.
Sounds good.
You guys in?
In.
All right. So if you have seen that book or read it or want to read it again, we're going to do The Untold Legends of Batman by Len Wein with art by John Byrne and Jim Aparo. All right, so we'll wrap it up there. It was fun. I hope, Philly P, you had a good time listening to it. And we'll be back soon.
Yeah.
Have a good night, everybody.
Ciao. The Golden Globes.
Llegó el momento, caen las murallas. Va a comenzar la única justa de las batallas. No duele el golpe, no existe el miedo. Quítate el polvo, ponte de pie y vuelves al ruedo. Y la presión se siente, espera en ti tu gente. Ahora vamos por todo y te acompaña la certeza. Mira, mira, sangre igual, porque esto es África.
Where'd you get that? Get love balloon.
Oh, you like that? You know how old that balloon is? This is before me and Daph J were married. We had gotten into an argument one time
it's
over the phone.
It's still, like, perfectly inflated.
Perfect condition, yeah. We had gotten into an argument one time over the phone, and I got really upset.
Yeah.
So the next day when we were meeting up after work, I had bought her a little pot with a flower in it. Not a thing of flowers, just a pot. And a get well because she was so mad. And it broke the ice. She started laughing immediately, and she's kept it ever since. That's so that amazing. Thing is, like, 8, 9 years old.
Yeah.
So we kept it.
I tried to convince Michaela to let me get a bamboo, but I just wanted one. And then she was like, no, just one is dumb. You have to get multiples. And I was like, no.
Why do you want a bamboo?
I don't know. Because we have a coffee table. Oh, you haven't seen our coffee table. We bought a coffee table. No longer the rubber bin.
Just in front of the I saw it the other day.
Did you?
I think so.
Oh, yeah, you were over.
Yeah, I saw it.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your coffee table.
Oh, my goodness. I should tell you why we have it.
Why?
So, basically, you obviously know Jason.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have another friend, Jacob, in Oakville, too. And so we're going to make two coffee table books, just the pictures of them.
Of them?
Of them. So one is going to be called, like, the Jason last name experience.
Is it actually going to be called Jason experience?
No, it's going to be, like, so Michael and then his last name. It has to be his first name because it's going to be, like, a model catalog. And then it's going to be, like, 2014.
But how funny would it be if it was it was the nickname we gave him? Name. Yeah, and everyone's like, why? Yeah. Because that's a whole other story in itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Okay, maybe it'll be Jason then. And then the other one is going to be, like, the 2014 Jake last name experience. And it's just going to be there. So literally it started while we were away. We came up with this idea. So, like, I've started collecting pictures of them that I have. And I'm getting Connor and Brandon to send me.
That's really weird.
And then, yeah, so then one day they're just going to be over at my place. And then I'm really hoping someone will just, like, be like, oh, look at these cool fancy books. And they'll open it and it'll just be pictures of them. Amazing.
That'll be awkward when they realize that you've done that.
No, it'll be the best. It'll be the best. So you met Jason.
Yeah.
It's going to be the best.
It'll be funny.
Yeah.
So Multiplicity Man, really?
Yeah.
You don't think that's a cheat?
Okay, I was thinking exactly, like, just from, if they were playing soccer but could use their superpowers, who would be useful
in how
someone who could multiply?
How different would your team have been if you
If it was to protect my family, it would have been, like, probably identical to yours then. Yeah, no crap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you want that, like, power. I was thinking, like, who's going to have, like, the finesse. So Spider-Man is very, like, articulate.
But, like, see, I was thinking, too, like, to have Batman and Captain America in the middle, two guys with no real, like, Captain America has power, but Batman doesn't. So I was still trying to make it, I didn't want to make it just super powered. I wanted to make it power with specific.
But Batman has a very influential mental power.
Yeah.
Like, that's almost why. To a superhuman degree.
Yeah, that's why.
At the rate his mind functions. I remember reading a thing that Batman has to have a superpower because the amount of bones and concussions he would have, he'd be severely disabled.
He's, like I said in the New York episode we did, he's the most implausible superhero.
But he's the best.
But that's what makes him so cool is the way he's written.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... Yeah, Batman's the man, but he's a little ridiculous sometimes.
Porque esto es África.